ER101. In conjunction with the American College of Emergency Physicians, get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome to ER101. Well, a new poll actually came out from the American College of Emergency Physicians that said, despite the Affordable Care Act, emergency visits are on the rise. And many people have asked me, you know, wasn't the Affordable Care Act supposed to fix all that? Our guest expert, Dr. Rebecca Parker, who's a frequent guest of the show, has an ACEP board director and on the board of directors, and she's a clinical assistant professor for the Department of Emergency Medicine at Texas Tech University Health Science Center. Welcome back, Dr. Parker. Thanks for being on the show.
So,
let's talk about it. It's funny because we've talked about this in the media. I know you did, and I had been asked too. And this poll is not really a surprise for us as emergency physicians, right?
That's correct. And this survey was done on our membership. We had 1,800 people respond about a month ago, and 46% of the physicians polled said that they were seeing a rise in visits since January 1st, which is when the Affordable Care Act really came into play. And we're not necessarily surprised. We've been talking about this for the last couple of years, our experiences in Massachusetts with a similar law, as well as the Oregon Medicaid expansion showed an increase in visits. And we knew this was going to happen, and we've been talking about that for a while now.
Yeah, I think the key thing that people need to understand and that we've been saying all the time is just because you have health insurance doesn't mean that you actually have the health care, right?
Correct, yes. Coverage does not equal access is one of the frequent phrases. So just because people have mostly right now Medicaid insurance doesn't mean they have access to the resources such as primary care or other acute care services. The other thing I point out to people, too, is the last CDC study that looked at who belongs in the emergency department did show that 92% of patients do belong there. So, the most common cause of presentation of having a patient come to us is for pain, and whether that be chest pain, abdominal pain, I slipped my hand into the door of a car, that is the right place to go. So, we see 92% of our people do belong there, so we're not surprised that they're coming and seeking care with us.
And I think it's interesting because, there was this kind of myth that the ER was just clogged with all these uninsured patients, but there was a JAMA study several years ago that found only 15% of emergency patients at that time had no insurance. So it wasn't the majority of patients coming in.
Correct. And our RAND study, which was done last year, the RAND Corporation came out looking at the value of emergency medicine. One of the survey questions they had was what number of people were sent to the ED by their primary care physician when they called for acute care services, and it was 4 out of 5. So we are the diagnostic center. We are the place for acute care, and people are using it, when they need to for those acute illnesses.
Yeah, because I wanted to get back to that CDC study. They actually said that the 92% had to be seen within a couple hours or definitely that day. And, how hard it is to get into a doctor within the same day. So, you can imagine that. And we're going to talk
about...
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, absolutely. I mean, we all have our personal problems seeing it through our own physicians. And once again, going back to the RAND study, 2/3 of after-hours care is delivered by the emergency department. So, when you think about the population we're talking about, many of whom are sort of in the Medicaid category, many of them are sort of that working poor. So am I going to take off from work to go access care when I have an acute illness but try to get into the clinic that's already sort of, clogged with patients? No, I need to go after work. I can't take that time off. My child has a fever. I'm going to wait till after work to take them in. And that's the backup of the emergency department for the clinics.
Right. And you bring up a good point about the working poor. And I know you're going to stay the next segment, and we're going to talk a little bit about urgent care that will touch on some of these things, because that is kind of becoming a new alternative. Even I'd be curious to see in the future. There's a lot of PCPs that are now sending people, you know, to urgent cares. But it's this idea of people that have insurance, they know, even though we have those laws, EMTALA, that we don't ask for money when we take care of you at that point, there are bills associated with it. And I think, you know, people that didn't have insurance but had jobs didn't want to get stuck with bills for anything.
Yes. Well, and I think the other thing to consider, looking at the ACA implementation, are the exchanges. And a lot of the plans, especially the silver plan is what everyone's tracking, have had very high deductibles. So people are having to make choices based on those deductible numbers. And that's an important part of the story as well in terms of the cost associated with the new ACA rule.
Yeah, I mean, but I guess that would affect them all over the board, and that could be a topic for another, a whole nother show.
Absolutely.
Because I totally agree with you. You know, these families that are even getting subsidized plans on the exchanges now, because it's, you know, it isn't, some of the states are expanding Medicaid, but some are through private insurance, and, you know, it's this idea, well, you can't go bankrupt, but if these families are just living paycheck to paycheck, a $2,000 copay for the whole year, I mean, that's a lot. That seems impossible. I think that's going to end up. And the more affordable the plan, probably the bigger amount that you're going to have to copay. So the key, what do you think the key is? And it's going to be a problem, too, when we talk about urgent care. It's the biggest problem. So we've increased the demand now because suddenly people have insurance, and some people had been putting off things for a long time. Haven't you seen that in the ER where they are come in sicker?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And there are studies out there that show that Medicaid patients tend to wait and are sicker when they come to the emergency department. So, you know, the other theory is, you know, people who previously, you know, would wait a long time, you know, with the Medicaid access now may come to the ED. I think the other thing to think from a system standpoint, looking at the Medicaid expansion states again, is the reimbursement that comes from Medicaid. We all know that, or, you know, those of us in the practice know that Medicaid is a very poor payer, and there are states cutting Medicaid rates across the country, and that's just going to further cause problems for access to care for our patients.
Yeah, no, it's true. And, you know, I think there was a study not long ago that a third of physicians, primary care physicians, can't afford to take Medicaid. That might be changing as private practitioners move into big medical systems, because that's where they've been cared for in the past. But so there's, you know, as they expanded Medicaid, there weren't any doctors, which I think gets to the real crux of the problem here. In a, we have about a minute on this, but the biggest problem is the supply, right? We've increased the demand. We haven't done anything for the supply.
Correct. And it's a real topic that we watch very closely, because we are getting more medical students, but we don't have more residency spots. It's been 20 years since the last legislation that froze our spots for training our residents. And we need to train the physicians to come into the workforce to take care of the patients and the boomers that are getting older. We need those resources.
Yeah, that's a very good point, because it takes a while to kind of grow a doctor, right? It isn't just like you make legislation today and tomorrow you have a whole bunch of new doctors. It's in some specialties and doctors that could take a full decade. So this is ER 101. I'm Dr. Lee Van Oker on Radio MD. Stay well and tune into your health.